Mr. Godwin, Reel 2. We're talking about your time when you were sent to the farm at Chilcompton,
yes,
and how you were introduced to the animals and the rest of it. It seemed, was your first impression that this couple that had taken you in, they seemed to have been very pleasant, very nice people. Was that your first impression?
Well, yes, she made us welcome, which didn't happen in them days as it did in this day. Gosh, yeah, for a total strange woman, when she picked us all up in the school, because we were taken to the farm from the hall by a bus. But she was so friendly that even in the hall, she kissed all of us. She mothered us. She was a very nice woman. And when the husband came home after his shift, and before he took us out onto the farm, although we were children, he shook hands with every one of us. They were really friendly, and nothing was too much trouble for them. And this is how it was. And when she sat us down to a meal, she, very nice dinner she gave us all, and we really enjoyed it. It was better than what we had had with our own mother. And she said, "Well, now, have you children had enough to eat?" She said, "My Herb will be home soon," that's her husband, "My Herb will be home soon," she says, "and I'd like it to go out and play while he has his tea." That was fair enough, and I made sure that my brothers and sisters never annoyed them, because I was happy, and I could see they were, but we couldn't go too far out on the farm, because we hadn't been introduced out there. Well, one of my younger brothers, he said something about still feeling a bit hungry. "All right," she says. That particular brother was a bloke we called, his name was Walter, but we called him Waller. So she says to him, "Well, what would you like, Waller? Would you like some more potatoes or anything like that?" He says, "No," he says, "I would really like a slice of bread or a bit of bread." Stunning, what? She cut him a slice of bread. She went to put butter on it. "No, don't want nothing on it, dry bread." Well, we knew him for this. So she gave him a couple of slices of dry bread. But no, when you, that's all right, won't come on, no noise. When you looking at a family of six children now, and you cut a piece of bread that thick, it's not going nowhere. But anyway, he was satisfied he had two slices of bread. He ate his two slices, and then the old man came home from work, he had his wash, and funny enough, we all had to wash outside. There was no sink inside, no bathroom. We all had to wash outside. She only had a small sink for her washing up, etc. And he came home. I made sure the others was out there, the others. And we then waited until he came out. She called out, she said, "Come on, children, come back in now. Your daddy's see." While she's washing up, he's giving us all a little pep talk in there and telling us what to do and what not to do with the animals, which was a good gesture because we never knew. So he said, "Never chase any." And one of the things he emphasised on us was, if ever you see a chicken in the hedge, don't go near it, don't touch it. Now, we didn't know what he was talking about. He said, "She may have eggs in there and she's hatching young, because she hasn't laid her eggs in the barn." He said, "So don't touch any chicken that you see in a hedge if she's sitting down." Fair enough, we all got that in mind. But then, as I say, he took us round, introduced us all round the farm. And when we was all finished, when he introduced us, well, after he took us all round the farm and he introduced us to the horse, then he actually, there was time when the hens and the turkeys and everything was all going in, the cattle was coming up to go in their barns. He says, don't care what you do, but don't go near the entrance to that barn where the cattle go in. He said, because you'll panic them, they're not used to children, you'll panic them, and you can cause a stampede in there. Just let them go in. So he kept us away from it. He said, but you can stay in there. He said, and you'll see all the chickens and the hens and the ducks all running in that hatch. He said, when they're in, I put the cover down and I'll take you inside. Now, we hadn't been in there then. Well, it was coming up to about half past 6, 7 o'clock. All the hens and everything in, the cattle's up, his wife's in the doings milking the cattle. And my sister went in with her to wash her milk in the cattle. Us boys all went into the hen barn. And there was all these hens all on roost all round the place. The ducks was on the floor, some of the turkeys was up on the roost, hens in the boxes. And he grabbed hold of a basket on his way and he says, now, he said, this is a delicate situation. You can come round with me, you see. And although the hens was in the boxes, he made them stand up and he took the eggs out and he put them all in the basket. And I was the first one being there. Go on, he says, you do that one. Of course, I'll go and put my hand in.
Got pecked.
So he says, take no notice, he said, he won't hurt you. So I put my hand underneath his chest and it automatically stuck. There was about 4 or 5 eggs there, so I've got them out and put them in his basket. And he let the others have a go and all. He said, now that's how you do it. But my youngest brother, he had to drop an egg, didn't he? He didn't say nothing to him. He said, that's all right, you're not the first one to drop egg. Because it was warm. You're not the first one. He said, they'll eat it. The ducks will have it. And that was the introduction in the doings. Then he let us see his wife doing milking. So he didn't say to me, the brother just younger than me, he says to him, come here, I'll show you how to milk. And he took him over to a cow with only one teat. There, he says, and he's showing him what the action. He's not doing nothing, just showing him the action. So he says, yeah, sit on that stool, he says, and put the bucket there, he says, you have a go. What? Nothing was happening. And he stood back and laughed, this Herbie. He laughed, and his wife says, hey, Chick, what are you doing? Because they used to call them pet names, Chick and Chickles. He was Chick. What are you doing to them boys, Chick? He said, I'm trying to introduce him to the bullet. It was a bullet cow. We never knew what this was. There was never any milk there. And he explained it then. He says, she'll never have young, she'll never give milk. It's what we call a bullet-chitted cow. He said, but it's nice to have one on a farm. And that was the introduction of the... And then the horse came up. He went in with the cows. But he used to have his own little department in this barn, whereby the cattle didn't go into that little compartment. That was just for Prince. That was his hay in there, not theirs. And they never went in it. He did. And we used to shut the door on him. But the people themselves, the old man used to get up early. And she was up early because he got up to light a fire to get the range going, all for our breakfast and everything else. She got up early because she used to have to go out to the cattle again, let the chickens and open up for the chickens to go out, then come back. Our first time ever. Breakfast. the six of us. But the old man's there because he didn't go on till late in the morning. We're all sitting down. She's cut a load of bread. She must have cut about four loaves in slices. Put it all on the table, on the plates. Well, that bread went just like that, with six of us. She looked at the old man, she says, "Chick, I'm not doing this no more." The bread disappeared off the table. Well, they were tin loaves about that long.
Over a foot.
Yeah. So she said, "I'm not doing this no more." She says, "I'm not putting bread out like that." Believe it or not, in the evening, now she didn't have to cook a meal for us evening, although they give us something hot, like soup or something. She put bread on the table. And she get a tin loaf, that's what the trouble is, and she would cut it lengthwise. And she cut it in four pieces. So you've now got four pieces of bread that thick, that long. And that's how she carried on doing it. But the kids used to love it because they start one end and work their way round till they got to the middle. But the kids loved it. And toast. She'd done the same with toast of the morning. Long slice of two forks holding it in front of the fire as you get the kids coming out doing it. And this is how it was. And there was always plenty of porridge or anything you wanted. That was going to go all the time. And there was never short of a drink of tea. Never. It was always there. Well, for the first week...
Now, hang on. On the first morning, you were taken back to the hall, weren't you?
We had to go back to the hall the next morning.
What happened there? What was that about?
That was to be introduced to the village children. We had to be introduced to all the children in the village. Because they went into their own community school. So when we went in there, there was one of them situations where children are a little bit afraid to mix with strange children.
All right. Both sides. I mean, the evacuees and the local children. Both sides are a bit...
Yeah, there was no sort. But I met up with the eldest chap who was there. No, it was an eldest girl who was in their section. And she happened to be a publican's daughter. And she turned around, I walked over to speak to her. And I said, "Look," I says, "I know we're from London, but you're from here. We've never met you, but we'd like to make friends." I think the kids were expecting me to do it. I don't know why. So anyway, I went over and, as I said, spoke to her. She says, "Well, my father owns the public house in Chilcompton." So I says, "Oh, do we?" "Well, long outside this public house, because now the children have got to mix, but very reluctantly. But they did mix, and they went out to have a few games like rounders or something like that. But then the children started to take us down to the their village, what they called their village. Well, all the way through the village of Chilcompton, there was a brook. And this brook led to this pub, a pub called the Britannia. And it was at the bottom of a hill where we lived at the top. This farm was right at the top of the hill. And she turned around, and everyone knew the people who was with. So she says, "Are you up at Brown's farm?" I said, "Yeah, at the top of the hill, Mr. and Mrs. Brown." "Yeah, that's it." "Oh, they are great people. There were some houses opposite, which are all built with these big cobbles. And the people over there came over and brought their children over with us to introduce us on the farm." These children coming from the other side of the road, like in these cottages, and they came over on the farm with us, to like their parents brought them over. They all introduced, and we became great friends. Well, after the first week of this, like going down, meeting the children, and we're playing with the children in the village, and we got to know this crowd. Now, they was now introduced that in the village hall, that the children in the village were going to go to that hall for schooling. They couldn't let them run the village constantly while other children was at school. Well, I went in. I didn't have to sit down to lessons, etc. But I went in and I had to have the younger children more or less with games. And I was giving them games and all that business. And there was another chap from who lived in Goresbrook Road, a chap by the name of Ingram. He was the same age as me. And he was in the same situation as me. Well, then he was helping me with these younger ones, giving them games and all that, while the others was having lessons in the main hall. Well, that lasted about a fortnight. Well, then they decided that our children was going to mix with their children in their schools, in their classes. But a number of children that was going to stay in Chilcompton was negligible to the number that was going to the higher school, the junior school, and seniors in Midsummer Norton. But it was what they did was the children in who came from Wells and Chilcompton, who was senior, they used to pick up a bus every morning down by this Britannia pub, which took them to Midsummer Norton. Well, with them taking them to Midsummer Norton on bus, it meant they had to have meals there, and they also had to be brought back at night. So now we've all gone down, like all those, but the other chap in Grimm and myself also had to go with them in the senior school, because officially we hadn't left school. So we went to this Midsummer Norton school. Well, I was put in with this Ingram chap in the top class there. Well, it was under one of their teachers. Now, they knew nothing about me. They knew nothing about him. And they automatically gave us lessons to do. But I'm sitting at a desk and I looked at these lessons and I just automatically stuck my hand up and I wanted to speak to them. I said, excuse me, this is not what I do. Hey? I said, it's not what I do. I passed this years ago.
You were in much more advanced.
More advanced than these. And this chap who was with me, this Ingram, he was in the same situation. He says, this is what we had in a junior school. So now, they've took us both, we've gone to their headmaster, and we've explained, says, well, what we've just been given as a lesson, we was doing in our infants and junior schools. And that is when I turn around and says, well, I've already passed a scholarship. I said, I don't want to do that, it's a waste of time to me. I want something harder. So they kept us two in that class, trying to give us work, but it was no good to us. We'd already done it, such as give an idea, mathematics. They came up, he turned around and says, and they've got logarithms on the list. But this chap Ingram, he wasn't so hot on him, so he says, yeah, okay, he said, that'd do me. I said, but they're no good for me. So the teacher says, well, why aren't they any good for you? I said, well, I've done logarithms, I've done the side rule. I says, I want something harder. I'd sooner do maths all the time, but you've got to advance me with them. Where would you like to start? So I had to think fast. Instead of me saying simultaneous, I said quadratic equations. We started there. So they've now gone, I don't know where they got it. They had to go and get a book with quadratic equations. They'd never had one in the school. But they got it, and they just give me the book. Well, by giving me the book, they've also given me the answers. So I've got to tell him, I said, look, it's no good to me. On the back of the book, I said, is the answers. I said, I don't want that. I said, I want to do my own working. They never had a slide rule in the school. All right, fortunately enough, I took my own with me, because I thought I might have needed it there. I had my own at the farm. So the next morning, I took my slide rule in. The teacher had never used one. So I was at a dead loss. So at the finish, I approached our teacher. I said, sorry, I can't put up with it, no, much more of this. This is not what I'm used to. I said, even a teacher don't know how to use a slide rule. I said, they never had a book on any quadratic equations. So he's now gone down there, he's checked with them, and he's actually taken over a class with my friend and myself in, and they're senior. And when he checked with them, their standard of education was 99% below par. He took both of us out of school. He says, you're no good being here. So he says, I might as well have you down in the village with the younger children, and we could let you give a bit of knowledge down there with lessons. And that's what we did, the pair of us. And we got on quite well. Well, during my time there, through my mother, she must have put on the sheet when she made the application that we were Roman Catholics. So the woman who we were with, she had all this data. And she's turned around every Sunday morning, church. Well, the village church, the church, was, as we came out of the farm, it was just part way down the hill. She took us down there, although she wasn't an RC, and she's introduced us and told them who they were. So we've all been ushered into this church for Sunday morning service. So he turned around. After a short while, I was introduced, or got to serve on the altar. It wasn't my cup of tea at all. I'd never done it, but the padre in there, he took me on this, that I trained to serve on the altar. So anyway, I used to go down there a couple of evenings a week, and he'd show me all what to do and everything else. He says, you've got nothing to say. It's just a question, he says, of... He says, it's just a question, he says, of you going through the movement. So, fair enough. Well, from there onwards, I ended up every Sunday serving on the altar as a choir boy. Well, then, come the time for me to leave school.
Now, that would be December.
That was in the December
time. Just ask one question. What about the actual outbreak of war? We missed that out, rather. But the actual outbreak of war, 3rd of September. That was just after you got there. How did you react to the outbreak of war? Did you hear it on the radio, or what did you
think? I don't think any of the children knew anything about it. You see, they were told they was going for a weekend. Well, then when it was announced on the 3rd of September that war was declared, there was a hell of a lot of these children, because we all had to go down the village hall, including the village children. We all had to go down the hall in the village to have this news given to us. But some of our children who were there, they started to cry. They were afraid they was never going to see their parents again. And you can understand it. And, all right, I should say, for the rest of that day, it took the teachers, and I wasn't getting involved in it. I was too young to know. That to convince them children that nothing was going to happen to them, nothing was going to happen to their parents. And if they wanted to go home, their parents come and collect them. And the teachers are going to inform them of that. Well, that calmed the children down, thinking their mothers or fathers are going to go and get them home, back home, take them back home again. And I should say, of the number of children that went from Monteagle down there, was somewhere in the region of about 400 children. And I should say, out of that 400 children that went, giving a rough idea, I should say about 50 came home. Parents came and collected them, brought them back. A few more afterwards were gradually dwindling away, being going home and everything else. But at the first outset, it was about 50 children that had gone. But it seemed to go on, but I'll take you back to this schooling now. There's when a teacher took, a chap by the name of Brindley, he took over the teaching. He was one of the teachers who came out of Monteagle. And he took over the lessons for the seniors. And as I say, he found their education was so low that even he couldn't teach them. And as I say, my friend and myself, we went down the village and helped with the younger ones and teaching them, giving him a little bit of what we knew.
Now, how were you doing on the farm? Because I know when you left school, you also left the farm, I think, because you went to Downside
when
Abbey.
When it came to me leaving school, through serving in the church on the altar, the father in there, he turned around and I told him I was leaving school. He said, "What are you going to do? Are you going back to Barking?" I said, "Well, I don't particularly want to. I like it here." He said, "Well, do you want to leave school?" I said, "Yes." So he said, "Well, do you think I can help?" I said, "Well, I'll find myself a job." He said, "I think I can do that for you." Now, he got me a job in Downside Abbey as an assistant cleaner. But this was actually in the monastery.
Now, where is Downside Abbey?
It's sitting on the cross.
Is that near to... Did you stay at the farm?
No. I lived in and everything at Downside
Abbey. That's what I mean. Tell me, did you carry on being as happy at the farm as you had been? You know, before you left there? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Because I mixed with adults now. I was mixing with adults.
Did you help on the farm, or was it just a nice place to live?
Well, they didn't want us to do a lot of help. The only help we gave them on the farm was collecting eggs and go and get a horse, whistle the horse up if he was down in the valley, whistle him up, and to take him up, to put him on the